This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive.
How do you feel when you're watching a TV show and the sex scene appears? Well, you know what? Doesn't really matter how you feel, because we could be seeing the end of them. That's right. No more sex scenes. Really?
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know. And if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Good afternoon, Lauren Rosewarne.
Hello, Warren. Thank you for having me.
Are they really disappearing, these scenes from TV?
They're not disappearing, but what is happening is that you're having some actors or on-screen talent saying they don't want to participate in them anymore. But you've also got, which I find even more curious, some audience members who are saying that they take offence to having or being put in a position where they have to even see these scenes, as though there is a consent question on the part of audiences.
Oh, okay. I hadn't thought of that before. I like the idea of the consent on behalf of actors, though.
Yeah, so we've got a number of cases throughout history. I mean, one of the first that comes to mind is Last Tango in Paris, where a very famous film for one of the first portrayals of anal sex in a heterosexual context in cinema. And in the years since, the female performer in that show, in that film, felt that she was abused on set. And since then, there's been lots of other cases where performers have come forward and said actually they felt that the sex scenes were exploitative or abusive or coercive, in the sense that they didn't want to do it but got, you know, basically manipulated into it by directors. And that's as a response to the Me Too protests, if you like, right, or Me Too attention. You started to see intimacy coaches brought into sets, which is basically a person who was there to make sure that everything that happens in a sex scene is not only safe but done in a way that protects the performers. And that's really what the focus has been for the last couple of years. But in recent months, I've started to see on social media calls for actually audiences not wanting to see these scenes. And I think that raises some interesting issues as well.
So why is it that, I mean, if someone doesn't want to see the scene, wouldn't you just not watch the show?
And that's really my position, Warren. I kind of feel that I'm, generally speaking, anti-censorship, provided we're not talking about films of content that's illegal. But outside of that, I'm anti-censorship. So the idea, therefore, if I don't want to see, there are things that I find thoroughly objectionable, sport being an example, right? So the way I deal with not wanting to watch sport is I don't turn the TV on and I don't watch it. And I feel that for adults, that's pretty much how you navigate content that you don't want to look at, is you don't elect to watch it. And I think that I feel the way that films are classified, you know, you get a rating on it, which gives you an indication of content. I think if you've got certain sensitivities around seeing portrayals of certain kinds of intimacy, that's your warning there, as opposed to implying nobody should be seeing this. Because I think for some people, expressions of romance and sexuality is actually part of the appeal of watching film and television.
I'm also thinking about, I have trouble watching gory scenes or operations and things like that, but, you know, they happen. I don't know they're coming, and I just close my eyes for that.
Yeah, part and of also, the scene. Yeah, but to say to other people that you don't also think they should watch it. I mean, you're seeing this happen in America with all of the different random book bannings that you have, you know, where one person's offence suddenly restricts content for other people. Mm. And I think we as individuals absolutely should set our own boundaries as to what we want to watch. But the idea that there's something inherently offensive about a sex scene in a film makes me wonder whether we're becoming quite puritanical as a society, because I think as long as humans in real life engage in sex and intimacy and expressions of love and lust, surely you're going to see that on screen, because that's part of storytelling.
Just on this fear of seeing sex, what's this about Gen Z having a bit of a fear of sex? Is that true?
Yeah, well, this is actually, the kids, they're the ones who are actually talking about not wanting to see this stuff on screen. But also, when you look at the research that has come out of Australia and the US, younger people are having less sex than ever before as well, or at least ever before in terms of research being done on this. So that raises some interesting questions as well about what are the expressions of sexuality for young people, and have we actually put the fear of God in them based on things like, you know, fear of disease, fear of non-consenting situations, etc., that actually we've become a sexually timid or frightened culture as well. Because again, I think the way we talk about sex education often really downplays pleasure and really plays up fears and the negative consequences that can happen as well.
You're right. It doesn't, I mean, obviously I'm a bit older. Our sex education was quite primitive when I think about it, but do our kids taught about the pleasure as well as the consent?
Yeah, and I think this is one of those things where in making sure that kids know about consent, etc., I think, and that's all super important, and I'm absolutely not downplaying that, but the idea of why humans have sex outside of reproduction, I think is something that we're a little uncomfortable talking about, because I just picture my sex education at school, which was, you know, the weirdo PE teacher. I don't really want him to tell me about sexual pleasure, truth be told. I'm even scarred just thinking about it. But nonetheless, it's important. It's important to know about these things because, and I was thinking about this earlier today, I was doing an interview with a student for an assignment that they were writing, and I was talking about how in our obsession with talking about yes means yes and no means no, which are all super important, what we don't talk about is actually arousal. What does it look like when someone's aroused? How can I tell if the other person is into it? And how can you articulate I'm really into it without actually feeling shame? We're not good with talking about that as a society. And I think that's probably where some of this weirdness comes from.
Exactly. And that's probably why when we're doing it, we say, oh, is that okay? Are you enjoying that? Is that okay?
Yeah. And that's really important. I think as you become an adult, you get and get older, you get more used to asking those questions. Mm. But for young people, there's a level of anxiety, particularly because we have been talking about consent for so long and it is so very important. But so too is the whole pleasure aspect of all of this, which tends to get lost in this conversation.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne about on-screen sex and the change on our TV screens. Just on that, I mean, are we likely to see TV shows where the level of sex that is shown on the screen is what the actors are prepared to do? And therefore, you know, we might have some shows that show more and some shows that show less.
Yeah, and I think we're pretty much at this point now. I mean, a lot of attention was given to Penn Badgley, who's the star of a television show called You on Netflix, and he's now decided he's not doing any of this anymore, that he's married, that side of his life is for his partner, and he's not going to participate in anything on screen. And this obviously got a mixed reaction. Some people were really championing him as though that's a really moral position. Other people are like, it's acting. It's not really you as Penn Badgley doing these things. And I did an interview with the Toronto Sun last week where the journalist was kind of afraid, you know, asking me about, will we eventually phase out sex scenes altogether? I'm like, why would we want to? It feels like such an artificial thing to say that such a huge part of people's lives is somehow going to be absent on screen because there have been some cases where people have felt uncomfortable. I mean, think of any scenario where people have had a bad experience. We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
No.
What we do is make sure that the scenes are done in a way that is respectful to the performers.
And the other thing that I suppose I worry about is if it does disappear on screen is whether porn will fill the gap. And that's not a realistic portrayal of sex.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's also part of the explanation as to why we, because if you look at television today, film today, it's actually there is less sex in most mainstream film and TV compared to decades gone past. But I think part of that is because once upon a time we did go to the cinema to see sex scenes, whereas now I'm two clicks away from incredibly explicit content. I don't need to watch or pay $20 at the cinema to see a glimpse of a boob. I can watch as many and see as much as I want for free with my phone. And I think that's also changed, you know, what I think some Gen Z who've, you know, been grown up with porn from basically as young as they've wanted it to be able to access it, they feel perhaps there's a time and place for it in the context of porn, perhaps, where you're ready for it and you know what you're getting, as opposed to the unsolicited surprise of seeing it in a narrative film or TV show.
Lauren, great conversation. Chat to you again next week.
Talk to you then. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you. That's Associate Professor Lauren Rosebourne from the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.